Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to our worship service this morning. I got a card I'd like to share with you from the bonds, and then we'll go through our announcements and everything. And it reads, Church Family, Where Do I Start? Sometimes you may have given a smile, a nod, a touch of the hand, or a look at it, or a glance. Maybe you provided a meal, sent a card with extras in it. Our hearts are so overwhelmed with the love and kindness to us, and that's from the Mike Bond family, Bond and Alice, Teresa and Joe, Ferris Lawrence, and Taylor Ann Bond. So continue to remember the Bond family, certainly in your prayers and all. We had 28 in Sunday school this morning. I want to encourage everyone, if you're not participating in Sunday school, we would love to have you. We have classes for all ages. And so I want to remind you of that. It's hard. It's almost April, y'all. One more Sunday, right? And April is Easter. So April the 1st, and we'll get the information out and everything. But I just want to go ahead and remind everybody, April the 1st through the 30th is our Annie Armstrong Easter offering. So you'll have the opportunity through the month of April to give to that. I'll have more information on that next week. Food pantry needs restocking. There is a poster with a list of item needers that needed as you enter the sanctuary. Please take a tag off the poster and help our church with this valuable ministry. Next Sunday morning, March the 30th, we'll have the Lord's Supper. We'll observe the Lord's Supper, and we'll have a fellowship meal after the morning service. That's a covered dish. Please remember next Sunday night, the service will be held in the original church at 6 o'clock at the usual time. Saturday, April the 5th, from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m., miscellaneous wedding shower for Ariel and Josh. The shower will be in the original church. Sunday, April the 6th, 9:30 a.m., is our monthly breakfast before Sunday school. Wednesday, April the 9th, 6:30 p.m., is our fellowship meal and church conference. Wednesday, coming up, April the 16th, at 6 p.m., is our annual trunk and hunt. You'll hear more information about that as it gets closer. Tuesday, April the 22nd, 6:30 p.m., Ladies Titus 2 meeting. Thursday, April the 24th, 7 p.m. is our monthly Standing in the Gap men's meeting. And this is what I had the information on for April, y'all. There's more that I know is coming, but I haven't got the exact information on it. I know the Grady County Baptist Association, we'll let you know about that. They're quarterly meeting is in April. We will have Easter sunrise services at the Methodist Church Easter Sunday, so we'll get that in the bulletin also. So with that said, any other announcements?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. And on that, it's a blessing, y'all, that we see all these activities going on, because I assure you all these activities are the thing that we're doing. We're not trying to bring attention to us. We're not trying to bring attention to Wigan Baptist Church or any individual or anything like that. We're trying to bring glory to God. And these things that we do, they bring glory to God and also bring people closer to Jesus. And that's what we want to do. Any birthdays? If not, want you to remember Amy's aunt, right?
Yes.
Sandra Worthington passed away. Was it Thursday you were sharing? Thursday. She passed away. So we want to, we had her on the prayer list. We want to continue to remember Tim and Amy and the family in the passing of her aunt. Any others, y'all?
Miss Hall.
Miss Carolyn mentioned, many of y'all know, she did mention, Miss Carolyn mentioned this morning Lisa Leggett. She's not doing well either, and I think she's had some medical issues going on too. So we need to remember her and the Leggett family. Let's go to the Lord in prayer now. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to gather here, Lord. But we thank you for the opportunity, Lord, just to open up our service today with prayer, Lord. And we want to lift up the ones that were specifically mentioned this morning. Lisa Leggett, we want to miss the Worthington family, Lord, and the loss of Miss Sandra, Lord. We want to lift them up to you. We know, Lord, that you'll comfort them through this time of grief. Miss Hall, Lord, and we know others that were not even mentioned, Lord, that they just need not only your love today, Lord. We know they have that, but they need our love and our compassion also, Lord. And I just pray that we'll just have tangible ways, Lord, that we can reach out to them and show them that God loves them. Lord, I do just want to lift up this service to you today, Lord. I want to especially lift up Brother Tim as he stands before us and shares your word today, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that as he proclaims your word and the gospel this morning, Lord, that hearts are touched, Lord, that lives are changed, and Lord, that we are just, as we talked about in Sunday school, Lord, that we just realize that Jesus is our Lord, and that, Lord, we need to pursue the holiness. We need to do the tangible things, Lord, that Peter even described this morning in our lesson, Lord, to just to reflect the character of Christ, Lord. And I pray that we do those things. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Yeah.
Well, if you can this morning, please stand as we sing hymn 203, His Name is Wonderful.
Jesus is mine, who are the Lord.
Be hymn 410, It Is Well With My Soul. We'll sing first, second, and last verses.
Thank you. again for my voice. You know, it's that time of year, and anyhow, I love God's Word. And so I'm going to ask you this morning if you'll turn to James chapter 5. That's going to be our primary passage for this morning. In 2 Timothy 3:12, Paul writes to Timothy, and he tells Timothy that all who desire to live godly will suffer what? A good time? Everything's going to be just right. You're never going to have a problem in life. You're going to have all the money you need. You're going to have a big house, fancy cars, nice clothes, all those things. No, Paul told Timothy that all who desire to live godly will suffer persecution. So kick them prosperity preachers to the curb, amen? They're not telling you the truth. Now, James has been telling us about how we are to live, what we think, what we say, what we do, because faith without works is what? Is dead. But James is carrying it a little bit further. And like I say, I love the Word of God. And James is a book that I've had an opportunity to preach through several times. But I've also, it is a book, as I said in the beginning of the study, it is a book of the Bible that I go back to when I think everything's going good in my life and I'm doing pretty good as a Christian, because James, as he's writing this, he's pointing out things. It's not necessarily James, it's God through James, because God spoke and man wrote, right? God spoke, James wrote these words down, and so James is encouraging us in our faith, but to realize that with our faith will come times of testing, trials, and persecutions. And so as we look through this passage this morning, I want us to think about our love of God's Word. I believe it to be the inspired, inerrant Word of God. I believe it is God's revelation of himself to mankind. Somebody once said, I think I've seen it on the bumper sticker a few times, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Right? But the reality is, it doesn't matter whether I believe it or not. It is the Word of God. It is the truth of God. It is God's revealed will for his master plan. Not that he gives every detail to us, but he gives an account of his interaction with mankind and how mankind, if Adam and Eve hadn't sinned against God, you and I would have. Amen? And so you can blame them if you want to, but it really, the buck stops with us. And so it teaches us about how God had a plan from the very beginning. It didn't catch him by surprise for Adam and Eve to eat the fruit that he told them not to eat. But God had a plan. All along, you see that God has a plan throughout history, from before he even formed the foundations of the world and put the stars and the sun and their orbits. He planned this millennia ago, millions and billions of years ago. He didn't create it millions and billions of years ago. That's been in the last 6,500 years, give or take a few hundred years. He did all that to show us how much he loves us. He could have just simply wrote on the letter, I love you, and sent it to us, but he did that, John 3:16, right? But he showed us how we are to live and how we're not to live. He's given us all these things, these stories in the Bible to point us to him. Everything from Genesis to Revelation points to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. God's Word is a tool that we can gauge our lives by. It's a roadmap for our lives. How many of y'all have, if you got a newer car, you have something on your dashboard, and And if you have Google Maps on your phone, you can put it, you know, that little screen on them, and it tells you where to go. And you believe it, right? But do you know that God gives you his GPS system right here? It's called God's positioning system. It shows you where to go and where not to go. It tells you where to go where there's danger to stay away from. He says, if I tell you don't do it, then don't do it. If I tell you to do it, that means do it. We trust our cars more than we trust God. Isn't that sad? Here's what I know. I know that Google Maps will get you turned around. If you don't believe me, go to an intersection somewhere and the arrow's going like this, back ahead, don't know which way to go. You know, and sometimes we can be that same way in our lives. But God's Word teaches us how to live holy lives. If you've been in Sunday school, you know what Peter's telling us and how to live godly, because it's not that we're perfect people, but God desires us to be holy because he is holy. I think I said this Wednesday night. Earth is the practice field for heaven. Earth is the practice field for heaven. How many of y'all watch any of the March Madness stuff? That's what it is, right? March Madness. Basketball. Well, let's say football, because I know y'all more football fans than basketball fans. If a team never went out on the field to practice and they showed up on Saturday afternoon to play, what is probably going to happen? They're going to lose. They're going to lose. I don't want to get to heaven and not know how to worship God, amen? I don't want to get to heaven and say, Lord, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I've been living for 58 years and I've been saved for about 51 of those, and I don't know how to live, I don't know how to worship. I don't know how to honor you. And I wonder if God's going to look at me and say, Tim, gave you plenty of time to learn. I've given you plenty of practice field experience. Why haven't you grown up in your faith? Why haven't you grown up in your worship? I love God's Word, but can I also tell you there are some things in God's Word that I don't like? Can I get a witness? Oh, now y'all so holy, I know. How many of y'all have a lot of patience? Not people in the hospital, but, patience with troubles and trials and stuff. James, that is the theme of the passage we're going to read this morning. It deals with patience. Now, I'll be honest, that's something, an area of my life God's still working on. Amen? But I'm not who I used to be, right? I have grown. I have mellowed out some in my later life, let's put it that way. I'm not there yet. So when I read this, this is one of those parts in the Bible that if you were like some people, you would just probably tear this page out because you don't want to read it because it affects you. That's this passage to me, because it teaches us about having patience in trials and tribulations. If you've ever been through a drive-through line and you've already waited 30 minutes just to get up there to place your order, and you place your order, and then they come, they want to get your money, right? And they get your money, and they say, okay, will you park over here in the number 3 section for me? Well, your food will be out in just a few minutes. And then it takes another 20 minutes, and I say, I thought this was fast food. And, and everything's cold by the time it gets to you. You kind of get impatient, amen? But what I have grown to understand, not saying that I practice it perfectly, I'm not saying that. We get more impatient with God, and when we get impatient with God, who does it show up at? Who do we lash out at? Because we know God's perfect, holy, righteous, just, and he's perfect on time and everything else. And so when we don't get our way according to God, then than who we lash out at, those around us. And we're going to look at that. Let's go ahead and read James chapter 5, verse 7. He says, therefore, and when you see the word therefore, what are you supposed to ask? What is it there for? Well, we got to go back and look at how, you know, how people have been oppressed and everything, and how all this has brought to the point where, even as I failed to mention last Sunday night, the one that was being oppressed didn't resist those who were running roughshod over them. And so here James is saying, therefore, because even those that are persecuting you, treating you wrong, mistreating you, taking advantage of you, this is what James says, therefore be what? Patient. There's that P word, right? Patient. Brethren, in other words, beloved brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord, see how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for until it receives early rain or early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near at hand. It's at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. We pray with me. Heavenly Fathers, we have read your word. God, I pray that you give us wisdom, guidance, knowledge. Lord, I bring conviction where conviction is needed. Lord, bring celebration to our hearts and lives, Lord, where you have already done a mighty work in us. But Lord, we know that we need a lot more working on. So Lord, help us this morning. Lord, as we look at patience, as we apply it to our lives, Lord, help us do so by the power of the Holy Spirit living in us and through us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, James in James chapter 1, verse 3 tells us to let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. In other words, James is saying, listen, there is a reason for the struggles and trials and tribulations and sufferings and persecutions that we go through. And it is to teach us to have patience. Because the reality of it is God's timing is not Tim Dudding's timing. God's timing is not your timing. God is allowing things to happen to grow us in our faith and our trust with Him. But sometimes we don't want to wait till tomorrow. I shouldn't ask this, but I'm going to. How many of you have Prime through Amazon? Anybody got Prime through Amazon? Why do you get Prime through Amazon? Because you don't have to go get it and they'll send it to you the next day. Amen? You don't have to wait a week. Well, some things you do, but most everything you can get in a reasonable amount of time. We like that because we don't like to wait. We don't like the waiting that happens in our lives. And that is so true oftentimes when we're going through tough times and trials and tribulations and all that. And so James is teaching us about having patience, to be patient, to let God make us perfect and complete so that we lack nothing. He tells us in verses 7 and 8 James chapter 5 to in both verses, to be patient until the Lord's return. Now, the reality is, how many of us know when Jesus is coming again? Might be today, might be tomorrow, might be next year, might be another 1,000 years. But until that time, you and I, as believers, are to be patient. Patient with each other, patient with God, patient in our struggles, our trials. The first example that James gives us is the example of the farmers, too. If you are an impatient person, you probably don't need to be a farmer, right? Back years ago when we lived in Florida, I had my little John Deere tractor. And, you know, some years, like this year, it would all of a sudden get real warm and everything would bloom out. And I'd get itching. What would I be itching? What, because of the pollen, right? Well, it might have been that, too. But I'd get itching to plant. And I want to get out there and plant peas because, you know, you get peas in the ground early before the bugs get started real bad. And you can get them up, get them grown, and you do all that. But a farmer is probably one of the most patient people there are. I'm not saying with everything, because if a piece of equipment tears up, they're probably not patient during that period of time. But a farmer is a patient person. A farmer has to be patient with the soil, right? Because it can be warm outside, but if the ground's too cold and you plant seeds too early or too deep, what happens to them? They will rot before they germinate and begin to grow. So no matter how good the seed is, if you don't plant it at the right time, if you don't have patience to wait, or maybe you put it off, procrastinate, and you should plant them, well, then there's other problems that happen along with that. They have to be patient with the soil. But they also have to prepare the soil, right? So there's work to be done even when the timing isn't right. You and I are supposed to be the same way. Most of us want God to resolve our problems right here and now, but we're not even preparing the soil for God to do it. We want God to plant the seeds in our hearts and lives and change everything we have and that's going on in our lives, but we're not even preparing for it. In the Jewish society, they knew that the time of planting was usually after the morning or early spring rains that would come. So the farmers had to be patient with the soil. But the farmer also has to be patient with the seed. Doesn't matter, good seed, bad seed. When you plant the seed, it's got a germination period to it. If you plant corn, it's not going to be up and ready to harvest today, right? It's just not going to be. If you plant cotton today, you can't expect to run the combine through it tomorrow. It takes time, and it takes time for that seed, as I mentioned earlier, to germinate. But it also takes time for that, for the corn, for the peas, for the tomatoes, the okra. Y'all making me hungry, right? It's getting too close to lunch. You want to plant that, but no matter. Even if I plant good seed, guess who I have to wait on to cause it to grow? God. Because if God doesn't want that seed to grow, guess what? It's not growing. I have to learn, you and I have to learn to be patient like a farmer with the soil, with the seed, but also in the season. I can't change the timing of the season. You can't change it. And the writer of Ecclesiastes tells us there's a season for what?
Everything.
For everything. That means the good, the bad, the laughing, the crying, the weeping, the loss, the mourning, the happiness, everything. There is a season. But here James' illustration is about the seasons, is that we have to learn that there's a season we all have to go through. I love this time of year, other than pollen, right? I love this time of year. I love fall because there are two times when everything's most colorful. You know, it's beautiful. You go out there and see where the pecan trees are starting. I know y'all call them pecan trees. They're starting to bud out, and you know when they're starting to bud out, guess what? Most of your freezes are over, right? So you see all the flowers and everything, and then in the fall you see all the beautiful colors in the leaves. It's a beautiful time, but if I want to plant tomatoes, I do not need to go outside in November and plant them, right? Not unless you got a greenhouse. I've got to be patient with the season because there's a season for everything, and my season in life may not be your season in life. And so we have to realize that each one of us are going through different struggles and trials in life at different times in life. And I may not understand what you're going through, and you may not understand what I'm going through, but 10 years down the road, we might come together on it. Because you and I may see that those seasons brought us together somehow in some way. Verse 7 tells us the reason why the farmer is patient with the soil, with the seed, and with the seasons. It tells us, therefore, be patient, brother, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the what kind of fruit? Precious fruit. The word precious means costly. It is valuable. You know, I said when I planted, I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait to plant those peas and tomatoes because when the first ones started coming out, I mean, you'd be out there every day checking them, right? Because you want to get the last one that's already been eaten by everything else. Now, you want the first one the best because it always tastes better, right? It's no wonder God demands us to give him the first fruits of our increase. It is good to him. It's precious to him. And same way with a farmer. When you plant something, you plant it not just to see it grow necessarily, but you plant it to receive a blessing from it. What kind of fruit are we giving back to God because of what he is doing in us? Why did he plant us where he's planted us? Well, why has he allowed us to go through these times of suffering and all the other things that come in life? He didn't do it just to sit back and say, I want to see how miserable I can make it. He's testing your faith to see, because that precious faith, that precious fruit, is what God expects to find from his people. James not only is picturing a physical farmer, but also a spiritual farmer and spiritual harvest that God is looking for in our lives, just like the farmer's looking for that harvest of grain and wheat and vegetables and all. God is looking for a spiritual harvest in my life and in your life. But what does he find when he comes looking? I think about this is nothing, just ran through my mind, so I'm going to chase it for a moment. Remember that Jesus was walking down the road with his disciples and he saw a fig tree and he was hungry. And he went over there to it. What was he looking for? He was looking for figs. He was looking for fruit. And when he found none, what did he do? He cursed that little tree. He didn't cuss it out, right? He didn't let no one else eat from it ever again. And the next day when they went by there, what did Peter say? Oh my goodness, Lord, this tree obeyed you and it withered up from the roots. I wonder with our lives if we're producing what God wants us to produce. Are we producing those spiritual fruits for him? Are we producing other Christians for him? As I said, though, a farmer, he's always working. He's planning, he's preparing, and he's repairing, right? Sometimes there are bridges and sprockets and bearings that go out, and he has to repair and replace those pieces on equipment. He's always watering, he's spraying. He's trying to take care of the bugs and take care of the weeds all at the same time. There's always something for a farmer to be doing. So my thought there is simply this. When we're going through times of trial and seasons of life, don't get caught up thinking there's nothing to do. Because there's always something to do in our lives. There's always something for us to do to the Lord. And it doesn't matter if you're 5 years old or 50 years old or 150 years old. God has a plan and purpose for our lives. He's allowed you to go through what you're going through, what you've been through, so that you can be a spiritual fruit to somebody else. Oftentimes, though, we see what happens when things don't go our way. In James chapter 5, verse 9, let's read what James says. He says, do not grumble against who? One another. And then what does he call us? What is brethren? You know, sister so-and-so, she ain't been doing this, and she ain't been doing that. Brother so-and-so, he ain't been doing this, and he ain't been doing that. And you know, look at me over here. I'm just working myself to death. Got my bone, my skin hanging off my bones. I'm just working myself. And you know, everybody else sitting down. And what happens in our... Y'all think I'm funny. Y'all must be in the church. No. Do not grumble against one another. Because that verse kind of seems out of place, doesn't it? When we get impatient, who, and I kind of already said this in the beginning. When we get impatient with God, it shows up by being impatient with each other. We get impatient with each other because things aren't going the way we want to go, and how we want to go, and when we want to go. And we're really impatient with God. But it outflows against those around us. And James is saying, listen, do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. We cannot be complaining and condemning one another, because the same judgment we use against them will be what? Measured back to us. James is saying, be careful. Let what God is doing make you complete. Let what God is doing make you mature in your faith. We talked about this Wednesday night, but Philippians 1:6 tells us what? Did I put that on there? Philippians 1:6 says, he who has begun a good work in you will leave it unfinished. Is that what your Bible says? Being confident is the very thing that he, meaning God, who has begun a good work in you, will do what? Complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, my thought here is simply this. What God's starting, he's going to finish. Right? He's going to complete it. But what are we going to learn during the process? Are we going to have to keep repeating the process over and over again until we learn so that we can be complete, we can be mature in our faith? Is God going to be able to produce what he wants to in us with us being willing to receive and understand it? That I may not understand what's happening, I may not know why it's happening, but I can trust that God has a plan. And I can trust that God has a plan that is going to benefit me in the long run, and that hopefully by my actions, my choices, I'm going to give God the glory for it. I'm going to praise him even in the storm. Next, James gives us another example. He's given us three here. He talks about the farm, but then he also talks about the prophets. We don't have time to go there because this is coming to my mind too. Hebrews chapter 11, you look at what happened to many of the prophets. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. Some of them were tarred and feathered and burnt. They killed the prophets that God sent to them. And guess what the prophets did? The prophets remained faithful. The prophets, they suffered for telling people, thus saith the Lord God. This is what God says. Now you can take it or you can reject it. You can take it to heart or you can say, well, so what? But the prophets remained faithful to preach the word of God because that's what God told them to do. They spoke in the name of the Lord. And many, many of the prophets suffered for being faithful servants to God. But if we ask ourselves, well, you know, I'm suffering right now. Maybe it's because I'm being faithful. Well, I hope it is. Because even faithful people will suffer for God, right? But a lot of times the suffering we go through is not because we're being faithful, but because we're being unfaithful to God. And we're not listening and obeying what he wants us to do. So there's those two sides. Sometimes you suffer for the cause of Christ, and sometimes you're suffering because you're against the cause of Christ. James goes on to give us another example. And he gives us the example of Job in verses 11 and 12. Look at what he says here. He says, indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very, what? Compassionate and what? And see, that gives us a problem right there because we read verse 11 and then we read verse 12. And then you go back and read verses or chapter 1 and 2 in the book of Job and you say, how in the world was God compassionate and merciful to Job? That blows a lot of people's minds because they say, how in the world could God allow that if he is compassionate? Because, you know, Brother Tim's definition of compassion is what? Move to action. God was moved on behalf of Job, but it wasn't for Job's glory. Whose glory was it for? Because remember what Satan told God? He said, well, you know, you take all that he has and he'll curse you to your face. God said, okay, go ahead and take it. Took everything away from Job, and Job still did what? He praised God. That God came into this world, thinking I shall return. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Should we accept the good from God and not the bad also? What was Job's reply? Never once did Job blame God for what he was going through. James is giving us the example of Job. Here's what I know, and I've said this often. A faith that is not tested is not real faith. How did God know Job was going to stand the test? Because he put him to the test. He put him to the test, and Job came out of that test, and God was compassionate towards him and doubled everything that he had. God was merciful to him and keeping Satan from keeping him alive. You see, sometimes we wonder, we struggle with what we go through. And it's understandable to a point. But who are we trusting? James is telling us, listen, to see that God is good and that God has a plan and a purpose for what we're going through. But to let that patience have its perfect work in your life and in mine. Verse 12, if we read it, especially down at the end. Well, let's just start at the end of verse 12. But above all, my brother, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. Now, here again, this is one of those verses that seems like it's out of place, doesn't it? It seems like it's out of place with the rest of what we just read, because he's given us the three examples of the farmers, the prophets, and then Job, and then all of a sudden it says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And it leaves them wondering, what is that about? Here's what I've seen. Here's what I've done. When you face a trial in life, you face tribulation in life, you face suffering in life, you probably find persecution in life, all of a sudden you start making deals with who? Come on, we're in church. God, if you'll only do this, I'll do that. God, if you'll take care of this problem, Lord, financial need, I promise I'll give you 20% what I make. I'll give you 12%. I'll do this. Lord, if you just let me get out of this predicament I'm in, I'll serve you. I'll be in church every single time the door's right. Lord, if you let this sickness or cancer go, I'll follow you. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Been there? Done that? Have you followed through with what you promised God? Here's what James is saying, I believe. James is saying this. When we go through these trials and tribulations, the suffering, the pain, we're often quick to try to make a deal with God. God, if you will just do this, I'll do that. And James is saying this, let what you're going through, let God have his perfect, complete work in your life to bring you to where he wants you to be. But don't go making promises to God you cannot or will not keep. Because then, my Bible tells me, that hey, it's better not to make a vow to God than to make one to break it. My Bible tells me if you're going to make a vow to God, you better pay it. Because guess what? He expects it. So James is saying, listen, brothers, listen, sisters. Don't fall into condemnation by letting your mouth get you in trouble. Let your yes be yes, Lord, have your way. And if it's no, then hang on to the no. But let it be spoken and let it be the truth. What is the purpose for all this? We end with this, Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 15. We know this as the what? The Lord's Prayer, right? Listen to what Jesus was teaching us here. And we're not going to go deep into this, but listen to what it says. Jesus saying, listen, in this manner, therefore, pray. Because the disciples asked them, Jesus to teach them how to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Where are we at? As it is where? In heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Does that mean that we're supposed to ask for a loaf of bread every day? No, it simply means bread in that time meant that for our daily needs, right? And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So I'm going through a trial, Brother Tim. How am I supposed to handle it? But maybe the Lord wants you to pray. Lord, let your will be done on earth, in my life, as it is in heaven. Lord, help me to realize that you are at work. Even if I can't see your hand moving, God, I can trust your heart to lead me in the right direction. James saying simply this, like a farmer, we must keep working. Keep waiting for the spiritual harvest that God is producing in our lives. But for us to realize that it may not happen overnight. It may not happen this year or next year. But it will happen in God's time. Like the prophets, we must keep being a witness for God and speaking God's truth and share opportunities with others about the truth of God. But we also need to be like Job and keep trusting that God is leading us through whatever he's leading us through somehow is for his glory. When we pray, do we pray for God's will to be done in our lives, in the lives of others? Because one thing I've also realized is that sometimes what you're going through has nothing to do with you. Listen to me on this. Sometimes what you're going through has nothing to do. It may be affecting you, yes. I'm not denying that. But it may not be because of sin. It may just be that God wants to use you as a testimony to somebody else. How you handle it, how you respond to it. Do you keep on loving? I think of Jimmy Voice, Sissy's donkey. Lost so much in this lifetime. And yet his faith was solid as a rock. Sometimes we break our fingernail and go off on God. Right? Sometimes we stump our toe in the middle of the night and we just go off. What is God allowing you to go through right now that is for his glory? And are we giving him the glory through it? Say, God, I don't know what you're doing, but God, I trust you have a plan. God, help me today to honor you. Whether it's people, whether it's problems, whether it's places, whatever it may be in your life, what is God wanting to do in you? And what are you allowing God to do in you and through you to accomplish his plan? God, see, you've had a lot of work to do on me. How about you? Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, we know that first and foremost, today we honor you by believing the Word of God, by trusting the Word of God, by trusting that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who wants all to be saved. Lord, he doesn't force us to be, but Lord, he simply offers the gift of salvation to all who will put their faith and trust in him. And Lord, if we receive that gift and we turn from our sins and turn to Christ and Lord, just give our hearts and lives to him. Lord, he has promised to save us. Lord, I know today that this was more of a sermon for believers who may be struggling today. But Lord, it is also for those who have never trusted you. So Lord, I pray first and foremost for the one who may have never trusted you, that today would be that day. Lord, that if they're not sure, that they would make sure that they're saved. For us, Lord, who are saved, there's a call to repentance. There's a call to simply trust you, to know, God, that you have a plan and a purpose for our lives, for our suffering, for the trials, for the tribulations. Lord, that you have the goal of making us more like you, to trust you more and more each day. So, Lord, how we respond to this today is important. Lord, I pray that you have your will in your way in our hearts and lives today. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.